joining us on the pregame show with Brian Westbrook, Jason Devon, Devon Givens. That is the one and only Tim McManus on the Comcast Business Hotline. T-Mac, what's up, man?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Oh, it's winning time with you right now, T-Mac. What's going on? What's the pulse in Atlanta? We know the fans out there taking over a little bit. What's the latest on this team and the fans?
There's a lot of green in this city. A lot of green in this city, man. You see it as you're walking down the streets. As we know, Philadelphia fans represent better than anybody on the road. Never ceases to amaze me the amount of people that come here and try to take it over. And I think that will partially be the case, but also, it all sort of depends on how this team starts out. As we know, they've had struggles both last year and then in week one against Washington of getting out of the gate quick. And if that continues to happen, then, the Atlanta faithful will be the ones that are rising up, if you will. But if it goes the other way, you could see it snowballing in Philly's favor. So a lot depends, I think, on this on the opening quarter here in Atlanta tonight.
Yeah, Tim, you talked about it getting off to the slow starts, and it continues from last year's campaign to this one. Last week, tough one, two different teams. What was the message, if you will, throughout the week about how they got off to this slow start and maybe getting better, especially being on the road in a tough environment?
Well, I think the concerning thing is that they spent the whole offseason trying to problem solve it. I mean, this was a major point of emphasis, and at least in the first game, it didn't work well. And there's plenty of theories going around. Reuben Frank took a look deeper at the numbers this week and saw that Doug Peterson tends to run the ball more in the first quarter as opposed to kind of letting it rip after you get past quarter number one. So there could be something there. My own personal theory is I wonder if Carson Wentz isn't better getting away from scripted plays and just kind of being in the moment and playing fast. I think that's more towards his speed. Those things do it. But, so there's been theories thrown around within the organization and outside, but the bottom line is execution. I mean, they have to figure out a way, especially against this kind of team, to get out to a fast start. Because if you get in a situation where Atlanta gets up on you at home, not only is the crowd going to be in it, but you're going to have a balanced attack with Freeman in the backfield and then those playmakers on the outside, where the defense is going to be on its heels, and that's going to end up being a long night. So it's imperative that they start quick tonight.
Tim, I absolutely agree with you, and it's so great to talk to you again, but I absolutely agree with you as far as the offense getting off to a fast start. To me, it's just as important for the defense to get off to a fast start. We know what Matt Ryan is. We know Julio is the best receiver in the game, but we also know that Muhammad Sanu and Calvin Ridley are very capable receivers. We saw Rasul Douglas get beat deep last week. We saw Sidney Jones get beat deep last week, even though they didn't complete the pass. Is there going to be any change in philosophy? Maybe we're not going to zero blitz. Maybe we're going to cover. We're going to play coverage more instead of playing man-to-man. Maybe we're going to blitz more. Have you heard anything throughout the week that gives you any insight to Jim Schwartz's philosophy and thought process coming into this week's game?
Well, I mean, I think that would be a natural reaction would be to blitz less. But when you look at Jim Schwartz's resume against Matt Ryan, it suggests he actually might go the other way. He blitzes Ryan since 2016. They faced him three times. It's all been Atlanta losses, and Schwartz has actually turned up the heat, blitzing 27% of the time on average on Matt Ryan's dropback, compared to 19% of the time against the rest of the Eagles' opponents. And so he sees something where if you attack Ryan and can get to him, then that can really affect this quarterback even more so than it does other QBs around the league. And certainly the opposite we know is if they do not disrupt Ryan, that he can absolutely slice you apart. And that's especially true with a secondary that right now is in flux. I think what they're going to do in the back end is continue with this kind of rotation, which is, in my perspective, is not ideal, where you're going to see Rasul Douglas and Ronald Darby and Sidney Jones in kind of a rotation basis. And so they feel firm on what the right grouping is. So to me, it really comes down to that pressure getting home. And I think that there is an advantage for Philadelphia in this game up front. The Atlanta offensive line is in a state of flux in its own right now with their starting right guard, Lindstrom, going out. He's not going to play in this game. The right tackle is in a rotation basis as he recovers from a heart procedure. And so and if you talk to people around Atlanta, they're like, that's a problem. Like, Philly really has the advantage there. And I think if that's going to dictate whether the Eagles come out of this game with a win, frankly. It's whether they can take advantage of that matchup and get after Matt Ryan effectively.
Hey, Tim, this is Jason here. That's what I was going to ask you there about the backups there that are filling in for the right tackle, Caleb McGarry. He's a rookie. What did you see from him last game, and how exactly do you think that the Eagles' defensive line are going to come after those guys? Do you think they're going to be more stunts? Because when you have younger guys, it tends to seem that you can stun on them and do some things that you can't do on veteran players.
Yeah, I think definitely they're going to try to take advantage of that side. I mean, you're talking about Jamone Brown and Caleb McGarry at right tackle, who's going to be kind of on a rotating basis, from what I understand, with Ty Sombrello, who's been a kind of a backup journeyman in his career. And so they really feel like that can be somewhere where they can make some hay. And I think it's perfect because it lines up with, Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox going up against those guys. And so, yeah, I do believe that Schwartz is going to be creative in trying to confuse those two players in particular. And then I think they feel pretty good about their one-on-one matchups, even if you don't have the trickeration, if it's just mano a mano, they feel pretty good about those guys.
Tim McMahon is joining us live from Atlanta at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium ahead of Eagles, Falcons, Jason Avant, Devon Givens, Brian Westbrook.
You know, Tim, going into the season, I thought the defensive line was a little thin, in particular the edge rushers. But now you lose Malik Jackson in the middle of the field. What's the thought? I mean, Timmy Jernigan, I think, is still a nasty, aggressive player. He helps Fletcher Cox. But Fletcher Cox didn't look like himself last week. What's your thoughts about the middle of our defense and how we may be attacked with the Atlanta run offense?
No, I think it's a great thing to point out, B. West, because the thought was going into the season that Malik Jackson was going to offset the losses of Chris Long and Michael Bennett, because once you get in those third down packages, instead of going into the race car package with the three defensive ends alongside Fletcher Cox, that you could just have Jackson in there and go about it that way. And now Jackson is gone for the season. And so that means that people like Vinny Curry are going to have to step up. That means that Jim Schwartz is going to have to get away from the original thought and go with more of the three defensive ends, I believe, in passing situations. You know, Jernigan, I thought, had a pretty nice game in week one. He had a sack. He's a good player, but he also had kind of a serious injury with a herniated disc around his neck. So we don't know what he's going to look like over the course of 16 games. So I do think that he's going to start at defensive tackle and that they're going to be using him in run situations, certainly. But once you get into some of those sub-packages and the longer third and longs, et cetera, I think they're going to line up their defensive ends and see what they can do.
And Tim, with Tim Jernigan now being the starter because Malik Jackson out, Akeem Spence brought in, where does he fit into all of this? How do they use him?
Yeah, I think he's just going to be, I mean, I don't want to say just a body, but he doesn't serve the same role necessarily as Malik Jackson would. In other words, it's not like this natural transition, because my understanding of Spence is he's more of a rundown type of guy.
Sure.
Not that he can't get after the passer, but isn't in the same mold as Malik Jackson. So I think that he's going to step in and be part of this defensive tackle rotation. And I think it also emphasizes the role of Hassan Ridgeway, who was brought in this offseason as well. I mean, all of these guys kind of elevate in importance once you have a key loss like that.
Yo, Tim, I want you to explain to the Eagles fans that on there listening about Vic Beasley. Like, he had, in 2016, he had 15 and a half sacks. He hadn't come close to that in the last couple of years. How dangerous is this kid? He's extremely fast. How dangerous is he? Is he a premier target for the offensive coordinator?
Yeah, I believe that Beasley is one of the guys that they're going to be looking out for. And my understanding with this Atlanta attack is that they switched their defensive end, so it's not going to be just Lane Johnson on him. He'll flip over to Jason Peters' side as well. And if you get into a situation where he just gets to pin his ears back in and attack McKinley, I think that's something that the Eagles are going to try to avoid. But one thing, talking to people who know Atlanta's personnel pretty well, is that they were having issues setting the edge. And certainly we saw with that Minnesota game that they ran right over them. So it really applies to the whole defense, is that they're quick, but they're not necessarily power-based. And so I think it would be smart, you know, for the Eagles to mix in a decent amount of run game in this one, and maybe use Jordan Howard a little bit more. Use not only the power of the offensive line to mitigate guys like Beasley and like McKinley, but also maybe a power back like Howard, you know, who can get some yards after contact and take advantage of the Atlanta defense in that respect.
And do you see, based off of Tim last week, what we saw with the rotation of the backs, is that pretty much what we should expect unless someone really gets the hot hand and they feel like going with them, like Howard?
Yeah, I mean, I think so. I was surprised, I think, along with a lot of people, the amount that they used Sproles last week.
Yes.
You know, Peterson loves him and Darren Sproles.
Yes,
and,
he
know,
does.
God bless him. You know, he did really well in that game. I don't think it's sustainable over the course of an entire season. And I do think that you'll see Howard and Sanders rise to the top of kind of the touch chart. They're very high on Sanders, I think rightfully so. He should have had a touchdown in that game and had some nice runs that show you and some snaps and pass protection that showed you why that he's earning the trust of the coaching staff. But, yeah, I mean, this is, to me, a Howard game. I think it's going to be split up, and I don't think it's going to be like a run-based approach. I do believe that they're going to try to get up on him early through the pass with the hopes of running the ball and milking and salting that clock away, and I think that Howard would be a perfect candidate to do it.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.